Let us pray. Holy God, through these imperfect words, may your Spirit speak its life-giving word. And may we be your children who receive it and find transformation by it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. What I'm holding in my hand is called a mezuzah. It's an object familiar to some of you. It is to be attached to the right door frame or door post or right side of the door in many Jewish homes. It is a decorative case, a sort of tube at the center, inside which is placed a length of parchment tightly rolled. On the parchment are written in very small Hebrew letters two passages from Scripture. The custom is when the occupant of the home goes through this door, either going out or in, a finger is touched to the mezuzah, a sign of remembrance and of reverence. And in some cases, the finger that has touched is then touched to the lips. And what are the words inside on the parchment? They begin with this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the biblical passage where those words are found, it's Deuteronomy 6, add, you shall put these words on your doorpost, and speak of them often, and teach them to your children. These words are called the Shema, which is the Hebrew word for hear this, which is how the commandment begins, Hear, O Israel. And the people were meant to hear it constantly. The Shema is read twice daily, at morning and at evening prayer. Parents traditionally teach their children to say it as their final words before sleep at bedtime. Traditionally, these are the last words to be said before dying. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. So it's not surprising at all that when a scribe came to Jesus one day and asked him, What is the first commandment? That Jesus replied with the Shema. Words written on the doorposts of his own family home. Words taught to him by his mother to say each night before sleep. Words he recited every morning and evening. The Lord our God is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. This is the first commandment, he says. And so he ratified what the Jewish people, his people, have known all along, that the great commandment is to love God with all that we are. The thing is, we have heard the line so often that we're not surprised by the verb in it. Though if we were to think about it, we might find ourselves a little surprised. If we were composing the line, we might say, Love the Lord your God No. We would say, obey the Lord your God. Walk in the ways of the Lord your God. Listen to the Lord your God. Serve the Lord your God. Worship, even fear the Lord your God. But the verb of the command is none of these, but instead reaches to a far deeper place with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love God. Love. Love God. I wonder if that strikes anyone as just a little too much. Too much to ask, anyway. I wonder if it sounds to any as excessively religious, lacking in gravity and reverence, too tinged with emotion, too embarrassing to say, I love God. But of course, it is the right word. We're speaking about the very source of life, the infinite love that gave birth to all that exists. None of it had to exist. We didn't have to exist. But infinite love said, let there be. And the galaxies and all the fathomless mysteries, the colors, the music, the children, the dazzling array of creatures, including us with our minds, our work, our purpose, our play, our opportunities, and the people we cherish. How can we not love the source, the creator of all of that? And when life grows wrong and painful and a struggle, then that creator and source becomes also the giver of redemption, healing, second chances, new strength, the love of friends, and the Spirit's leading toward new forms of understanding and wholeness. How can we not love the giver of these wonders? The first commandment, then, I think is really saying in some way, open your eyes. Notice and absorb the gifts all around you, within you, beyond you. The great commandment is love life and love the giver of it, which isn't a soft sentimental feeling. If it's love, it's loyalty to the giver and to the liberator. It is rock solid commitment to God's ways. If it's love, it is desire to draw nearer to the one who is our source and commune there all our days. If it's love, it is tenacious. Or as William Sloane Coffin says, love is a long distance runner. If it's love, it is passion. To do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And none of these is done as grim duty or cold obligation. It is all lived heartfully, soulfully, joyfully, generously, with open-armed self-abandon. For love is soulful and heartful and generous and open, and not to be expressed, not ever, in little measured, calculated bits. So, of course, it's the first commandment. Though not first in the sense of being at the top of some list. Instead, first and greatest because it is at the core of everything. Or it is the all-encompassing of everything that is and all that we are. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the answer Jesus gives. And having said it, he refuses to stop. Just goes right on. And the second commandment is this, he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Notice that nobody asked his opinion of what the second commandment is. He says it because he will not name the first without including the second, as if they were never, ever meant to be separated. We're working from the Gospel of Mark's account of this episode today. The Gospel of Matthew's account has Jesus say something even more radical. He says, the second commandment is like the first. Now, what could that mean? That the call to love our neighbor is like the call to love God with all that we are. Maybe Jesus means that to show love to other people is an indispensable expression, an inevitable overflow of loving God with the entirety of ourselves. What's more, the idea of loving God can be abstract. And as Thomas Merton said, love in the abstract is a contradiction in terms. But the neighbor is not abstract, but a very particular person with a very particular mix of qualities. Sometimes easy to love, sometimes not so easy. And the neighbor is anyone and everyone, family, friend, acquaintance, adversary, stranger. So how can we not in the end love them too? For they too are given by the source of all life. And this love too is no soft sentiment. It is an embodiment of our wholehearted love for God. It is an embodiment of our commitment to their well-being. It is the giving of actual support and actual resources. The giving of friendship and advocacy for their good. And if it's love, there's loyalty in it, and tenacity and passion and the necessity to be generous, because this love too cannot be expressed in calculated, measured little bits. This is our embodied love of God, poured out for those who are made in God's image. How can we not? It is the privilege of a lifetime to love them in such ways, each of us and all of us together. Our church has a T-shirt. Did you know? We don't have a gift shop, but we have a T-shirt. It has a matching sign that some of us have posted in our front yards. On both the shirt and the sign, the name of our church is given, but in bigger letters are these words: love over hate, love over indifference, love over distance, love over barriers, love over boundaries, love over fear, love over ego, love over and over again. Lately, the music of the show Les Miserables has been on my mind very much, because A high school production of it is coming, and one of our boys has a part in it. This week, there keeps playing in my mind the one line that is the sort of climactic line of the entire show, and somehow manages to sum up the whole plot. The hero, Jean Valjean, who for decades has given himself to caring for other people self-sacrificially, is now dying. Some of those he has cared for have gathered to his bedside. Profound love is expressed. And then, when he has breathed his last and is being led into the life that is beyond death, the climactic line is sung. To love another person is to see the face of God. And so these two great loves, love for God with all we are, and love for neighbor as ourselves, they are woven together to be inseparably one. And in all the world, there is nothing greater, more crucial, or more life-giving than this.